everyone, and welcome back. Today we're tackling a question that's got a lot of new Spaniel owners wondering.
Mm-hmm.
What's the best leash for a Cocker Spaniel puppy?
Right.
We're diving deep into this article with tons of expert advice on Spaniel training and care to help you make the right choice for your pup.
So,
need to dive in?
Absolutely. This article really breaks down the different types of leashes, and you can tell this author has a lot of experience. It's cool to see how they think about different leashes based on years of working with these dogs.
Yeah, for sure. And the first thing that stood out to me was their strong endorsement of rope slip leads. Mm. Have you ever worked with slip leads?
Oh, yeah, definitely. They're a classic choice, especially for gun dog training. Basically, it's a rope leash with a ring at the end that tightens gently when the dog pulls, gives you control without a buckle or a clip. And you know what? The author actually says they've been using the same slip leads for over 30 years.
Wow.
That's got to say something about their durability.
30 years. That's some serious long-term testing. And they mentioned that it was actually a professional gun dog trainer that first recommended them. So it sounds like they've held up well through all sorts of activities like field trials, spaniel tests, and even hunts.
Exactly. And for anyone worried about the cost, the author makes it clear you don't need to break the bank. They even recommend a specific brand. The Fieldmaster Slip Lead from Goygar is a really great option.
I love that they just get right to the point with practical recommendations. It makes the information so much more helpful for our listeners. But okay, I gotta say, I was a little surprised when the author said they think slip leads can actually be safer than traditional collars, especially for hunting dogs. Can you explain that a bit?
For sure. It might seem counterintuitive, but the author explains that collars can actually get snagged on branches or undergrowth when you're out in the field, which could be really dangerous for a hunting dog running through those tougher spots.
Yeah.
But a slip lead, well, it's designed to slip loose if it gets caught, which helps prevent a possible injury.
Ah, that makes a lot of sense. So it's all about minimizing risk in those specific situations. But of course, not every spaniel is going to be a hunting dog. So let's talk about some other leash options for those everyday adventures.
Absolutely.
What are some of the other types of leashes that the article talks about?
Let's see. Touch on a few different ones, like harnesses, traditional collars with leads, extendable leads, and even choke chains.
Okay, so let's break down each one of those.
Yeah.
Starting with harnesses. Those seem super popular these days, especially for puppies. What does the article say about them?
Well, they say that harnesses have become more and more popular with spaniel owners, and for good reason. They spread the pressure more evenly across the dog's body, which can really help reduce strain on their neck. And that can be especially helpful for dogs that tend to pull.
Right. And I've heard that harnesses can be good for, what are they called, brachycephalic breeds? Dogs with short noses, like pugs or bulldogs, since it takes the pressure off their airways. But what about spaniels? They're known for being active. So is a harness a good option for them?
Well, that's where it gets interesting. The author specifically talks about a type of harness called a step-in harness. And they even mentioned the Voyager range as a popular and well-regarded option. What makes them different is that the dog actually steps into the harness rather than having it pulled over their head.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. That would probably be a lot easier to put on, especially with a squirmy puppy. So what are the advantages of a step-in harness over like a traditional over-the-head one?
Well, they're often preferred for dogs that might be a little sensitive about things going over their head. It can be a less stressful experience for them. And they're also known for being really secure, which is great for active dogs that might try to wiggle out of a looser harness.
Okay. I'm starting to see why the author recommends them. They sound practical and comfortable, perfect for a spaniel puppy. But what about those traditional collars with a clip-on lid? Are those still a good option?
Absolutely. They're classic for a reason. The article even points out that in some places, it's actually legally required for dogs to wear a collar with an ID tag when they're out in public, which is a really important safety measure, especially for a breed like a Cocker Spaniel that's so curious and active.
You're right, safety first. And I know there are so many different kinds of collars out there. Did the article talk about any materials that are best for spaniels?
Yeah, they did. They said it's super important for a spaniel's collar to be durable and flexible. They actually recommended leather collars as a good choice, and even mentioned stylish collars from Moonpet as an example.
So we've got slip leads, harnesses, and collars with leads. What about those extendable leashes? I see them everywhere, but I've always heard kind of mixed reviews.
That's interesting that you mentioned that, because the author actually had some reservations about those extendable leashes, especially when it comes to spaniels. They think that spaniels are so active that the lead is almost always extended, which can lead to a tangled mess and can even encourage pulling behavior.
Right, so maybe not the best choice for an energetic puppy that's still learning leash manners. And speaking of learning, I remember there was this funny part in the article about the author's own spaniels actually chewing through the cord of an extendable leash and making a grand escape.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty funny.
It just goes to show that even with those retractable leashes, you got to be extra careful, especially with a breed that's known for chewing.
Exactly.
But the author does say that there are some times when an extendable leash can be handy, like when you're camping or at the beach, where you might want to give your dog a little bit of freedom, but still maintain some control.
Okay, so it's all about using the right tool for the right situation. So we've covered slip leads, yep, harnesses, collars with leads, and extendable leads. But before we move on, I have to ask about choke chains. I know those have gotten pretty controversial. What's the author's take on those?
Yeah, they're pretty clear on that one.
Mm-hmm.
They strongly advise against using choke chains. They say they're unnecessary and could even be harmful, saying that choke chains can cause pain and even injury to a dog's neck.
Okay. Yeah, that's a pretty strong stance. Yeah. And I think it reflects a growing trend in dog training towards more positive reinforcement methods. You know, it's all about teaching and guiding our dogs with kindness and understanding, not force or intimidation.
Exactly.
And speaking of positive reinforcement, let's go back to slip leads for a sec. While they can be a good training tool, it's really important to use them the right way. The goal is to guide them gently, not punish them harshly. Have you ever heard any concerns about slip leads from other dog owners?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Some people worry they can be dangerous if they're not used properly.
Yeah.
Putting pressure on the dog's trachea and potentially even leading to choking or injury. It's definitely something to be aware of.
Absolutely. So if someone is thinking about using a slip lead for the first time, what advice would you give them?
The most important thing is to make sure you choose the right size slip lead for your dog. Not too loose, not too tight. And just as importantly, you need to learn how to use it safely and effectively. A good dog trainer can teach you the right techniques so you don't cause any harm.
That's such a good point. It can make a big difference to get help from a professional. They can help you figure out the best approach for your dog's personality and needs. And speaking of different needs, we were talking about harnesses earlier, and I'm curious to know more about the pros and cons of using them for a spaniel puppy.
Yeah, so like we said before, harnesses are great for spreading out the pressure, which can be really helpful for dogs that tend to pull, and they're generally considered to be more secure than just a collar, making them a good option for dogs that are little escape artists.
Right, so if you've got a little Houdini on your hands, a harness might be worth looking into. But are there any downsides to using harnesses that we should know about?
Yeah, there are a couple of things to consider. Some people find them a bit bulky, especially compared to just a simple collar and leash. And they can be a little bit trickier to put on and take off, especially if you're dealing with a squirmy puppy.
Uh-huh, yeah, I can imagine. So for spaniels specifically, is there anything we should keep in mind when choosing a harness, like their build or how active they are?
Definitely. Cocker Spaniels are known for being energetic and loving to explore. So you want to pick a harness that lets them move freely without feeling restricted. A well-fitted harness should sit comfortably and not rub or chafe.
And what about those traditional collars with the clip-on leads? They seem pretty straightforward. Are there any downsides to using a collar for a spaniel puppy?
Well, collars are really easy to use and generally less bulky than a harness. The main thing to be aware of is the potential for pressure on their neck if they pull. That could be a problem for any dog, but especially for certain breeds, like spaniels. That might be prone to neck injuries.
Right, so it's about weighing the pros and cons and figuring out what's best for your dog. So far, we've talked about slip leads, harnesses, and collars with leads. What about extendable leads? The author seemed to have some strong opinions about those, especially for spaniels.
Yeah, they did. They said that extendable leads can actually make pulling worse because the dog learns that if they pull, the lead gets longer. And like we talked about earlier, they can get all tangled up, especially with a busy spaniel that's always on the go.
And then there was that story about the author's spaniels chewing through the cord and making a run for it. That definitely made me think about the safety concerns. It seems like using an extendable leash means you have to be extra careful and aware of what's around you.
For sure. And while they did say that extendable leads can be useful sometimes, like when you're camping or at the beach, where you might want to give your dog a bit more freedom while still having some control, they generally recommend against using them for everyday walks or training.
Okay, so we've really explored the world of leashes for spaniel puppies, from the classic slip lead to the versatile harness, the traditional collar and lead, and even the sometimes controversial extendable lead, it's clear there's no one perfect answer. Each type of leash has its own advantages and disadvantages.
You got it. It really comes down to choosing the leash that works best for your puppy's personality, your lifestyle, and your training goals.
Exactly. And there's no shame in trying out different types of leashes until you find the perfect one for both you and your furry friend. Now let's break down all this info into some key takeaways so our listeners can make the best choice for their pup.
It really does come down to that, picking the one that fits best.
So it's decision time. We've talked about all the different kinds of leashes for Spaniel puppies. What are the most important things our listeners should think about when they're making their final decision?
Well, I think safety should always be the top priority. Like we discussed, each type of leash has its own safety things to think about. For example, with slip leads, even though they're effective, you need to use them the right way so you don't put too much pressure on a puppy's trachea.
Yeah. And with harnesses. While they're great for spreading out the pressure, you need to make sure they fit properly so they don't rub or chafe. And of course, we can't forget about ID tags on collars, which are a legal requirement in a lot of places and really important for your pup's safety.
Right. And you should also consider your puppy's age and size. A little puppy that's still growing is going to have different needs than a bigger adolescent. So you'll want to choose a leash that's lightweight and the right size for their neck.
And for those energetic Spaniel puppies that love to explore, durability is super important. Remember those 30-year-old slip leads from the article? That just shows how important it is to choose a leash that can last and even stand up to puppy teeth.
Absolutely. And thinking about exploring, you also want to think about your lifestyle and the kinds of activities you'll be doing with your puppy. Mm. If you're planning on lots of outdoor adventures, a really durable and reliable leash like a slip lead or a strong collar and lead might be the best way to go.
And how about training goals? How does that play into choosing a leash?
Oh, that's a great question. If you want to teach your puppy to heel nicely, a slip lead can be a really useful tool, when used correctly and gently, of course. But if you're worried about potential pressure on their neck, a harness might be a better choice.
It's like picking the right tool for the job. Each leash has its strengths and weaknesses. It's about finding what works for you and your dog.
Exactly. And remember, there's no right or wrong answer. It's perfectly okay to try out different types of leashes until you find the one that feels best for both of you.
I love that advice. It takes the pressure off and lets you explore different options. It's all about finding that perfect connection with your pup. So for our listeners who are starting this leash choosing adventure, what final words of wisdom would you give them?
I would say trust your gut. You know your puppy better than anyone. Do your research, weigh the pros and cons, and don't be afraid to ask a trainer or vet for advice. But most importantly, have fun with your furry friend.
I love that. It's all about enjoying those special moments with your puppy, whether you're walking in the park or heading out on a big adventure. And remember, once you've found the perfect leash and you're out making memories, we'd love to see it. Share your puppy's leash adventures on social media and tag us. You might even get featured on our page. Until next time, happy leashing.
Absolutely. It really is all about finding that perfect fit.
So as our listeners are getting ready to pick out a leash, what final thoughts would you leave them with?
I think the article does a great job of breaking down all the different things to think about. Like we talked about, safety is always key. And each type of leash has its own safety considerations, like with slip leads. While they can be really effective, it's super important to use them the right way to make sure you're not putting too much pressure on that puppy's trachea.
Right.
And harnesses are awesome for distributing pressure, but they need to be fitted correctly to avoid any rubbing or chafing.
Yeah, for sure. And we can't forget about those ID tags on collars. They're often a legal requirement and so important for your pup's safety.
Exactly. Oh. And, you know, another thing to think about is the puppy's age and size. A small puppy that's still growing is going to have different needs than a larger adolescent.
Right.
So you want a leash that's lightweight but the right size for the little neck.
And for those Spaniel pups that love to run around and explore, durability is key. Like those 30-year-old slip leads the author mentioned.
That's exactly.
It's all about picking a leash that can really last.
Right. And speaking of exploring, you also want to think about your lifestyle and the kinds of activities you and your puppy will be doing.
Yeah.
If you're planning on lots of outdoor adventures, a really sturdy and reliable leash, like a slip lead or a strong collar and lead, is probably the best way to go.
What about training goals? How does that factor into the leash decision?
That's a great point. If you're focused on teaching your puppy to heel nicely, a slip lead can be super helpful when used correctly and gently. But if you're more concerned about potential pressure on their neck, a harness might be the way to go.
Yeah, it really is like choosing the right tool for the job.
Exactly.
Each leash has its own strengths and weaknesses. And it's all about finding what works best for you and your furry friend.
Exactly. And you know what? There's no right or wrong answer. It's totally fine to experiment with a few different types of leashes until you find the one that feels most comfortable and effective for both of you.
I love that. That's great advice. It takes all the pressure off and lets you explore different options. It's about finding that perfect harmony between you and your pup. So to wrap things up, what final words of wisdom would you offer our listeners as they start their leash choosing journey?
You know, I'd say trust your instincts. You know your puppy best. Do your research. Consider the pros and cons. Don't be afraid to ask a trainer or a vet for their advice. And most importantly, have fun with your furry little companion.
I love that. It's all about enjoying those special moments with your puppy, whether you're strolling through the park or heading out on a grand adventure. And remember, once you've found that perfect leash and you're out there making memories, we want to see it. Share your puppy's leash adventures on social media and tag us. You might even get featured on our page. Until next time, happy leashing, everyone.